Grant us, O Lord, to hear your voice, and in hearing your voice, to love your word, and in loving your word, to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. There are an awful lot of people who really like to claim that they know the mind of God, that they know what these signs mean, what these events are from. Anytime there's a natural disaster or a public tragedy, you'll get a whole line of very, very self-impressed religious leaders who can tell you exactly what God is thinking. I think those might be the sorts of folks Jesus was talking about to the disciples. You see, Jesus tells the disciples that the temple is going to come crumbling down, that it's going to be destroyed, so completely destroyed that not a single stone will be left on another stone. Complete and utter destruction. And I imagine that to the disciples that was a pretty surprising thing to hear, because they were building this temple for God. How could it come to such utter destruction? But Mark was writing to a community who had already seen the destruction of the temple. And so in Mark's gospel, this serves less as a prediction of what will happen in the future at some point, and more as a word to a community who is already living in the midst of such destruction. Jesus does not promise that everything's going to be comfortable or easy. Jesus doesn't give them some simple platitudes like, don't worry, this is all just part of God's plan. Jesus warns them that there will be hard times to come. Now, I'm still pretty new at this whole life thing. I'm only about 35, I'm only like 35 years into this. But I imagine that every generation before me has lived through events so cataclysmic that they thought, surely this must be the end of times. This must be what Jesus was talking about when he warned that there would be wars. This must be what the book of Revelation was referring to. But I think what Jesus is saying here is actually that we will continue to live in times where over and over and over again we face destruction and horror, and we find ourselves wondering if everything is falling apart, if this really is the end of times. If this is it, if this is the moment when it's all going to come crashing down around us. I mean, that's sort of what apocalyptic literature is all about, right? We tend to think about the apocalypse as just being sort of one event somewhere in the future. But there are an awful lot of movies about apocalyptic circumstances, right? We've got Armageddon. One of my favorites is Independence Day with Will Smith. I love when he punches the alien. It's just really entertaining. You know, we've got all these movies where the world is about to end because of some sort of foreign invasion, because of some sort of nuclear disaster, because of some catastrophic natural event, because of some sort of outbreak like the zombie apocalypse, right? We've got all this literature about what could go wrong and how the world might end. But none of its intention is really about just making us all so terrified that we run and hide in our basements and pretend that the rest of the world doesn't exist, right? All of those movies, all of those TV shows give us some sort of hope that even in the face of events so catastrophic that we think that the world must be ending around us at this very moment, that there is still hope, that there is still good, that there is still promise for the future. Right? Will Smith saves the day. Bruce Willis sacrifices himself to break up the asteroid that's heading towards Earth and gonna cause sudden destruction. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at here. He's not telling them about the wars and rumors of wars and the earthquakes and the famine because they shouldn't worry about them or they shouldn't care. He's saying that whatever happens in life, no matter how cataclysmic, no matter how bad it seems, no matter how convinced we are that the world cannot possibly continue this way much longer, God is still in control. God gets the final word. So when Mark is writing to the people of the newly forming Christian community who have watched the temple be destroyed, he's saying to them, I know this seems like the worst thing that could possibly happen, but God is still on your side. God is still with you. This is not the end of God's story. This is not the end of our story. There is so much that none of us know. We don't know what the end of times will be like. Neither do any of the other people who are very convinced that they do. You know, all those folks who like to predict exactly what day the world's going to end on. It hasn't ended yet. So far, their accuracy rate is zero. But we don't know. We don't know what the end of this world will be like. We don't know what the end of our own lives will be like. None of us really know what will happen after death. But what we do know is that we have a God who knows, that we are all in God's hands, and that that is a very safe place to be. We have a God who loves us so much that God was willing to die for our sake. And because Christ died and went to hell and then was resurrected, there is no place in this life or in death or in the world to come where you or I can ever end up that God has not already been. And therefore, there is nowhere that we can end up where God will not be with us. And that is the comforting promise of the gospel. It's not that life is going to be easy or that things won't get scary, but it is that our hope and our trust are in someone who loves us so much that nothing can possibly separate us from that love, not even death or the destruction of this world. One of my favorite professors in seminary was Dr. Tim Wingert. He was very snarky and had a very dry sense of humor, which is why I liked him. And anytime you asked him a question, he would ask, why do you ask that question? Really obnoxious, but good training, because ultimately when we all ask deep theological questions, we're really asking something much deeper. So when the disciples say, well, how are we going to know that this is coming? They're a little less concerned about how they know when this is coming, and really they're concerned about how they're going to cope when this happens. And Jesus hears the question behind their question and gets at the heart of what it is that they're really asking. How do we know we're going to be okay? Will we survive this? And the answer is yes. And so today I would like to end by quoting Dr. Wingert in one of my favorite prayers that he used to share with us. So let us pray. Dear God, you hold us all in the palm of your hand. Please don't drop us. Amen.